Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this getaway Friday morning, snowy Friday morning, January the 19th, 2024, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. The guest this morning, Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis, and we invited her back in after a very interesting interview we did about 10 days ago after the last city council meeting, and just wanted to clear up some things, and I think we did clear up a lot in hour number one. And I'm glad we were able to do that. And so far, so good, Miranda?
So far.
Because we talked, the first time you came in back in October, you had talked about being nervous, speaking to the media, so on and so forth. And now that you're basically a co-host at this particular point, right. Are things getting better?
Things are getting better, yes.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. It's a lot of people, it's tough to talk about these things. Because they're people you work with, they're people you have to see, and not the easiest thing in the world.
Right. And it does, there are some moments where I have to kind of pause and think about how I'm going to phrase certain things, not because I don't want to say them, but more because I'm concerned with how my rhetoric is going to come out. I have a tendency to just kind of blurt out what comes in my brain, and I don't necessarily want my brain to overfog or overdo what other people, I don't want to ruin other people's perceptions. So I kind of have to take a second and pause and think about what I'm actually going to say, which my parents would be so proud that I'm doing. So
that's good. Thinking it through before you say it. Interestingly enough, just to recap hour number one for people, after the meeting, after the interview we did last Tuesday, you have gotten an apology from Bill Collins, Mayor.
Yes.
Bill Collins.
Yes.
For the way he handled that situation. You do not feel that Martin Watts is doing anything inappropriate at this point.
Right.
And you do have a plan, which is the same plan, to get the auditor's office back on track.
Right.
What Monday night do you plan at this point to say to them? Because I'm sure they're going to ask, where are we with this?
Likely it's going to be this coming Monday night, just because I do know that there was, I've actually been ill for most of the week, so I did not attend the committee meeting that was on Tuesday. I'm getting over a cold and whatever chest congestion I've had for a couple days. So I was not at the committee meetings on Tuesday, but I was made aware that they wanted to see if we could have our representative from Veritas Solutions Group there. We're trying to get him there. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to, but I'm trying to get him there. So likely this coming Monday is we'll have kind of an update of what's going on in the auditor's office, tell them how we're at, how we're doing, where we're at, and where we're going to go from here.
Now, for people who have said, isn't there somebody you can ask for help? Couldn't you call the state? Could you call the attorney general? Could you call somebody in a high position who could put you on the right track?
Right.
Could that be done?
Yes and no. So the local government services office at the state auditor's office does do training. They do assistance with education and things like that. The state treasurer's office also offers different trainings and things like that. There's different continuing education requirements that we have throughout our terms that we have to meet. So there are trainings and things available, but to have somebody like your typical training that people think of, you know, sit down next to you, walk you step by step through exactly what you're supposed to do, there's no one to do that. Traditionally, I believe that would be the role of the previous auditor, which in my case would be Robert, but that was not exactly a smooth transition. And prior to him, it would have been Kelly, but Kelly and I have actually had a couple conversations, and she, to be frank, said she'd never step foot in the building again, which I understand. So I was kind of left to my own devices to figure it out, and that's part of the fun of going into that office, is to figure out where we're at, what we're doing, what we have to do, and how to maintain it all.
And a lot of people say, what was your experience to come to this position?
So I spent about about a decade between insurance and banking. I have most of the credits. I need to think about 8 credits shy of my bachelor's degree in accounting. And that's just due to some timing issues, why I don't actually have it yet. So I don't have a lot of working knowledge, but I have a lot of book knowledge.
And what do you think at this point could help you along the way as time goes on?
A lot more working knowledge.
A lot more working knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you go through this, is it an easy process?
Not really. So a lot of what we're trying to figure out right now, for example, the main thing that everybody's worried about is the fees, right? So the IRS has a very strict schedule that you have to maintain when it comes to paying certain taxes on time. And so much to the point where they go down to say, if you have a payday between Monday and Wednesday, you're due by Friday. If your payday is between Thursday and Friday, you're due the following like Wednesday or something like that. But then they have qualifiers, like if your pay or your tax liability is over $100,000, it's due within 24 hours. So it's when it comes to the IRS, and anybody who's dealt with the IRS on any matter really knows that they have a lot of back and forth kind of rules that overlap themselves. So one of the great things that we got was, and I know that the circumstances behind the meeting in Independence weren't the greatest, but that meeting in Independence was phenomenal because it was strictly informational as far as, okay, here's what tax liability you have, here's what you have as far as when your payments are due, here's what the overlapping rules are, so make sure that you can meet these requirements and then you'll avoid the fees. So one of the fantastic things that we did when we came out of that meeting was we actually sat down with a calendar for 2024 and we highlighted everything that these are the days that we have tax liabilities due, these are the days the overlapping rule takes into effect, these are the days that we have other tax liabilities, and these are the days where there's another overlapping rule. So it's kind of, it was very educational, but we did find a process. We did find a schedule, and we're keeping to that schedule. There's also double checks that we have to avoid those fees. Excuse me. And those double checks are just confirmations that we're sticking on the right track. So
now, people are worried about fines. Are there any more fines coming down the line that we know of?
No. And actually, as of right now, I spoke to the IRS on Tuesday. I called and had some questions about the latest $225,000 penalty. I called their department. I let them know that we had everything filed, we had everything furnished, and she said, and this is what I'm quoting her, she said, those penalties should be off the table. That's about $225,000 that we should be saving, which is great. And then in addition to that, we haven't received any other notices, but at the same time, everything's been filed that should have been filed at this point, with the exception of this year, because we still have to wait on a couple more things before we can file them. So as of right now, knock on wood, no more additional penalties.
So right now, people should feel comfortable in that, and that is something you can tell City Council on Monday.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, The bond issue. Tell people exactly what a bond is, because a lot of people have said a $250,000 bond seems like a big bond.
It does, unless you're talking about tax penalties, which, as I just stated, we got one tax penalty for $225,000. So it is, but it's not. Like, you could buy a house for that bond, but you can't pay for a whole lot of tax penalties. So the bond, basically what it does is it's to protect the city if I were to screw up, i.e. in the situation of Robert Landon. Excuse me. Robert had, oh my gosh, I can't remember exactly the dollar figure, but he had over $100,000 worth of, I think it was $154,000 worth of tax penalties. Those, and as fiscal officers, we hold a personal responsibility when it comes to the decisions and the mistakes that we make in office. So What that means is when those fees were mistakenly paid, or I'm sorry, when those fees were assessed for mistakenly paying the state as opposed to the federal taxes, those fees were assessed, but Robert is the one that takes personal responsibility for it, meaning he's the one that is not paying that money back, but it can come back to him personally. What that bond does is it protects the city that by sending, when the city pays that bill, rather than them essentially losing that $154,000, the bond comes in and makes them whole. So the bond pays them back for whatever that penalty was. Now, in Robert's case, he only had a $100,000 bond, so the $100,000 is all they could recoup. So there's still about a $54,000 gap. Depending on how that goes, there are other methods to get that $54,000 back. But the goal is that the bond will cover whatever you are, whatever the city, quote unquote, is out.
Now, is there a worry on your part that this could happen to you as well?
I mean, I think there's always a worry that can happen, especially as a fiscal officer. When you become a fiscal officer, you assume responsibility. So there's always that kind of that unnerving gnawing in the back of your mind. Do I hope that's going to happen? Absolutely not. Obviously, nobody wants to have a bond called. And I'm hoping that as we continue, we'll be able to continue cleaning up these errors and making sure that we don't have as many issues in the future.
A lot of people have said that your issues, some of them dealt with Robert Landon, but certainly not all of them. And a lot of people have felt, what I have heard from people, is that you get information and then don't share it immediately with council, and that makes them angry. Is there a miscommunication there?
I have in the past, and it's never been intentional or malicious. So I don't want people to think that I'm purposely withholding information with the intent of concealing the truth. That's never, ever, 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 ever been the case. If anything, my thought is, and I've done this, and I recall this a couple times where I would see a notice and I'd put it on my desk with every intention of getting back to it, and then I forgot. So it was never a question of maliciousness, never a question of ill intent. It was always just a question of poor memory. And at that point, I think when I first found that out, I realized it was like, oh no, and I cleaned off my whole desk and went through a bunch of papers to make sure I wasn't missing anything else. The other intention, and I like to think that I've actually gotten a little bit better about that now, because in the example of Tuesday, what I do is as soon as I find out information, I share it. So as soon as I found out about the $225,000 coming off the table, I shared it. I sent an email to all the members of council. I made them aware. I sent it to the members of the administration. Because if you hear it first and you hear it from me, there's nothing else I can do, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, do you think this saying poor memory, that may be a problem for people?
Oh, yeah.
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 And that's part of the reason why I'm working on doing it as soon as I can. Because if I do it as soon as I hear about it, then I don't have to worry about my poor memory.
What do other people in the office do? Because there are a lot of people in this office.
I have 9 staff members.
9 staff members. And I think a lot of people are saying, why can't they help here in these situations?
Sure.
They're there to be your support system.
Yes. So I have 3 members of the income tax team. They solely work on income tax. They are the bread and butter of what our income tax does. They process every return. They process every business, personal, commercial, everything. So they are phenomenal. They are a great group of people. Then I also have one account clerk who is in the auditor side. She essentially deals with every dollar that comes in and out of the city. She pays bills. She receipts stuff in. She makes sure that any money that goes to and from departments goes to and from departments correctly. She is the backbone of the auditor's office. For those that don't know, I also hold the payroll clerk as well. So she does everything with payroll. So she makes sure the entire city gets paid on time. She makes sure that all the bills for payroll get paid. So our healthcare bills, she makes sure that our tax liabilities get paid on time. She makes sure that any deductions or benefits that payroll takes care of are deposited where they should be. But the biggest thing, obviously, is she writes our paychecks. She doesn't sign them, but she writes them. So we all love her. We have then, excuse me, We have an administrative assistant. She's kind of our catch-all. She's fantastic. She's one of the newer members of our office. And then we have our internal auditor and our deputy auditor. So our internal auditor kind of is working more closely with me on the bank rec projects right now, just to make sure that everything is maintained, as well as taking care of inventory and fleet management and things like that. And then we have Martin, who is a deputy auditor slash tax commissioner, and Martin does a little bit of everything. He's kind of like a jack of all trades. He is over the tax department, but he also helps with receipting and different things that come into the auditor's office, whether that's grant money or fees, funds from the state or anything like that. So he really does a lot.
Now, obviously, you are the head of this office. You do the hiring and the firing. But in the grand scheme of things, looking back on the last 2 years, mm-hmm. how much of this trouble and problem would you place on the staff?
Honestly, I wouldn't place a whole lot of it, just because their job overall is day-to-day operations, which is great. And I've had very few issues with day-to-day operations. We've had, obviously, like our little tiffs and things like that, but nothing significant. Everything that we've had issue-wise comes from the one-off things that we have to deal with as the senior staff. So whether it's fees that are coming in, or grant money that's coming in, or things that we don't deal with often enough for it to be considered day-to-day. That's where I say I wouldn't necessarily consider it to be a staff issue as much as it's a senior staff issue.
When we look at the last 4 years, if you were trying to explain it to somebody, because a lot of people go, hey, listen, we've had auditors before. We certainly haven't had issues like this. We haven't had an auditor resign in quite some time. We haven't had questioning of another auditor, or at least the call of another auditor to resign. What is the last 4 years in the auditor's office been like? Why is this happening?
My only thought would be that the reason there's so many issues is because of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Willingness to learn, or lack thereof. So there's a lot of schedules to keep in the auditor's office. There's a lot of paperwork, because we also are the record keepers for the city. So we maintain different records for different projects, different records for different grants. We have a lot of stuff. excuse me. So a lot of it, I think, could either come down to being unwilling to learn what the process is when you're doing certain things, or being willing to learn what the process is when doing certain things. I didn't ever meet Robert personally, so I don't have an opinion on him one way or the other. But from what I've gathered within the office and seeing what's in the office so far, is that there was a lot of weight put on his senior staff, but I didn't see a whole lot of activity from Robert. Now, I like to boast that about myself. Like, if my people are in the trenches, so am I. And I have been there until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. I've come in at 5 o'clock in the morning. If my people are there, I'm there, unless I'm sick or dying, which I'm not dying, so I'm there. I may be a little ill, but I'm there, which they usually end up having to kick me out if I'm ill, because I will still be there. But I do. I am very much a lead from the front type of person. If we need to figure something out, I'm right there figuring it out with them, and we're gonna make it or break it as a team.
Now, this whole episode with Robert and yourself, a lot of people have said that your fines at this point are larger than what Robert accrued during his time there, and that there may be some connection, but not all. That some problems have been of your own making. What would you say to that?
Some of them may have been. We were without a payroll clerk for, I want to say, about 3 months at the very beginning of my tenure. During that time, we had some issues with some fines that didn't come out until later, but that's because of the tax liabilities and things like that, things that I wasn't aware of how to do. Those have since been paid, but that's not to say that we can't resolve that. There's also, it's just the timing of it all. I know that when a lot of people look at it and they look at the timing of it all, they see, okay, well, she's in office and this is when the fee came in, so her fees are more than Robert's. a lot of the times those fees don't necessarily relate to something that happened during my tenure. They might have happened during something during Robert's tenure, and it's only coming in during mine. That first round of 1095 fees is the biggest thing. That was $196,000 that wasn't my fault because it didn't happen during my time. It happened during Robert's time. It just happened to come in during my time.
Do you think you're open to help?
Absolutely.
Okay. If somebody said you were not willing to accept help, what would you say to them?
I might laugh just a little bit.
Right. Because I think there's this idea that I've heard council people say it. Maybe you're in over your head.
Sure.
And maybe need help. And we've waited for that help to come or the asking of help, and that has not happened.
And that, I think, is where I kind of scoff a little. By not asking for help, I don't know what they mean when they say ask for help. And maybe that's where the miscommunication's coming from. I have gotten Veritas in here. That's a huge help, huge help. They don't understand. I tried to do the same thing, and it took me 6 weeks to go through 20 days, where Veritas went through 6 months in 2 weeks. So it's a huge help to get them in here. The state, and this is where I kind of struggle with what's happening and the timing of it all. So the state is in, and while I understand that I could have asked the state for help, I also didn't know what questions to ask the state. So it was a little bit more difficult to really kind of get the help from the state until the council got involved. But that's not to say that I'm unwilling to get help. I would very much like help. It's needed at this point. And I like to think that I have decent working relationships with everyone that is helping at this point.
Now, the position, I believe it's budget director, that Bill would like to create, do you think this will be of help for you?
Yes and no. So the Office of Budget Management, what I believe Bill's goal is with that is that their job is to strictly maintain the budget, which would be fine. The problem is that once all this mess gets cleaned up, that's the auditor job. So what is the auditor going to do once the mess gets cleaned up?
What's the answer?
I don't know. Twiddle their thumbs.
So how long is it going to take to get things back to a point to where the city will not be losing money and everything will be running smoothly?
I'd like to say I know that answer. And I'd like to say, like, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to say by the end of the year. But, one, I know people will cringe if I say by the end of the year. Because, yes, that's 12 months away. Because it's January, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's so far away. It's really not in the grand scheme of things. I also know other people that would cringe because I'm giving a timeline, and people hate it when I give timelines.
Well, do you think so? Because at this point, it seems to be this, and again, I can't read people's minds either, but it seems to be as if council wants some answers. They want to see some changes in the office. They want to see something going on, or else they are going to continue to pursue removing you.
Right.
Now, and you said you feel like you don't have a friend at City Hall right now, including Bill, even though the apology came, that he would not stand up and say, don't. Do this.
Right.
He couldn't stop it, but he wouldn't stand up for you in that way. Now, all that being said, if you did give him a timeline, do you think they would say, okay, this is it?
I don't know. And that I think is what I've been kind of ping-ponging back in my head since we started talking about Jason and council and how they feel about the whole thing. I think if I were to give them a written timeline, they might be... I think there'd be two reactions. One, they'd either be ecstatic about it and can't wait, or they'd be apprehensive. Apprehensive meaning, like you said, you know, okay, this is it. If you don't get past here, like, we're done. We're done with you. We're done with all of this. I don't know which way it would go, and I wish that there was a way that I could determine which way it would go, but I think that's just going to have to wait and see what happens once I get that written plan out.
Because I think a lot of people feel that if nothing is presented that they like on Monday, that this process could start. But if something is presented that they could grasp on, because at the last meeting there was a suggestion, I think I can't remember if it was 60 or 90 days mm-hmm. to come back and revisit it. That got voted down, but there was a timeline put right. on the table.
Right. And I think it was 60 days. Or maybe it was 9. I can't remember now.
But, you know, that seemed to be okay, maybe. But when you said you weren't going to make any changes, then that started to look bleak.
Right, right. So I think, and to that point, I feel like there may be some people that are kind of on the line with me now. I actually had one council member tell me that I surprised them because they underestimated me, which a lot of people do. It's fine. So I think a lot of them are kind of on the line with me because they hear what happens in council. They see what the mess has gone through. They see what we've gone through in the last 6 months, and they're apprehensive at best. But they're also hopeful that things could be better. They just don't know. They're not aware. They're not entirely sure of where to go from here. And I can understand that.
Not to be a Republican-Democrat thing here, but there's one Democrat left on council. So yes. Certainly one Democrat cannot steer that ship at this particular point. Right. The Republicans certainly can.
Right.
You being an independent, do you think you have a good relationship with the Republican Party?
No,
why not?
Well, I kind of abruptly left after a 6-month stint and didn't hear anything from anyone one way or the other for a while. And honestly, I don't think I had heard anything from anyone until I conveniently had showed up to another event that they were hosting or another event that they were at or something similar. I don't think they really want to have anything to do with me. I don't think anybody does, but that's fine.
How do you think it got to that point?
I think it was just because I really just left, you know,
and the Democrats just never being in that party,
They don't ever reach out. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, again, I've been an independent my whole life, so I haven't really relied on party support for anything, and I'm okay with that. I think it's just a matter of when the Republicans fell away, the Democrats were a little too afraid to kind of come in, and I think it's just I'm okay being on my own.
A lot of people are confused how an independent got this job because the Republican Party had won the election. Robert mm-hmm. Landon had won. He resigned. The Republicans had the choice to appoint somebody, and people thought you were Republican for that reason.
Right.
Did nobody else apply? What happened there?
I don't think they did.
But nobody else wanted that job.
I that is what I am under the impression of. I used to make jokes about how they had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for me.
Why did you want it? Why did you want it?
Because I'm an ambitious person, and I like a puzzle, and this sounded like a really, really good puzzle. It's now like a 2000 plain white puzzle that I'm still trying to figure out, but I'm having a ton of fun with it.
Now, for you to say, I'm having a ton of fun through all this, a lot of people would say, wow, that's... This does not sound like a good time.
The last 6 months have not been good. However, I have a fantastic team and a very supportive family, and those two things alone make up for all the bad parts.
I wanted to talk to you about something that happened in the first interview. I was running down names and saying, give me a word to describe this person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people brought up to me, because when I asked you about Mayor Schertzer, mm-hmm. and honestly, I don't remember what you said, but it was something. And then I said Bill Collins, and you said strong.
Yes.
And I said, why strong? Because I thought that was odd, too. And you said a leader has to be strong.
Right.
But you didn't say that about Mayor Schertzer.
Right.
So I think a lot of people were confused by what you meant when you said strong, because you didn't apply that to the 16-year mayor.
Right.
But you applied that to the 7-day mayor at that point. So clear all that up. What did that mean?
So, and please don't think that I... please don't think that I misspoke in not saying that Scott Schertzer is not strong. He did this job for 16 years. It takes a very strong person to do that job, let alone to maintain it for 16 years. So Scott Schertzer is a very strong person, very strong individual, fantastic human. I applied that word to Bill specifically because of the previous hour or so that we'd had where all I was doing was reliving the conversation, and so I may have said the word strong with a not so good connotation and tried to recover.
Yeah. Well, so. And you know, so, and this is an interesting thing because you said earlier when Bill apologized, he said, you know, this is what I'm used to dealing in, facts, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Bill does not come from the legislative government branch. Right. Matter of fact, I think this is the first position in legislative government he's ever had, mayor. That's a lot to come into.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, and they probably do, he was deputy sheriff right up until this point. And prior to that, he was the police chief and a police officer before that. So do you think that, is he talking about that background, as a, in your opinion, of being a police officer, deputy sheriff, is why this came off this way?
I believe so, yeah. I think that's where he's getting it from.
Do you think that's a problem? Because not just with you, there have been other instances, run-ins with Jason Schauber, which he has documented when it came to the pay raise, run-ins with Mayor Schertzer when it came with the pay raise, run-ins with Ayers Ratliff when it came to your position and the transit position, mm-hmm. Run-ins with Sue McGowan during the primary, where a lot of people feel that he, run-ins with you, which right. you referred to him as strong, where people feel that his temperament is not the best, and that's not a good thing when you're mayor of the city. Maybe a good thing when you're a police officer or a deputy sheriff,
right.
but not when you're mayor. How do you feel about his temperament?
I think, again, there's a steep learning curve when it comes to being a politician, and I think that there's definitely going to be some things that Bill has to learn about being in that office, and I think that curbing his temperament may be one of them.
Now, when it came to the transit back and forth at the last meeting, because I believe the transit people are going to be there again Monday because they seem to be concerned, I mm-hmm. guess is the best way to put this. When he gave them the answer, now you know about this grant situation in the transit department. When Bill told the transit people at the city council meeting, don't worry about your job.
Right.
Your job's safe. Jason Schauber said, that's not the words I would have used. Because Ayers Ratliff at that point said, whoa, Bill, are you saying their job's going to be there in 4 years? Are you right. assuring them that? He said, no, I can't assure them. And then he said, I'm not comfortable with the answer you're giving. And we never really did get a definition of what today, tomorrow, and in the near future means.
Right.
And that left some people in transit uncomfortable. So you know what the issue there is with the grant. Was that a good answer on his behalf?
I think he answered as best as he could have at that point, you know, without knowing the finer details of it all. But I think, obviously, there's more research that would have needed to be done to have a good, full working knowledge of it. Plus, you know, there could be other things at play that we don't know about. There could be talk of a merger. There could be talk of other things that we're not aware of.
Should you know these things if there's going to be a merger as the auditor who sees all the money come in?
Probably, but I don't at this point.
So, not to get, you know, if these, I don't think these are private conversations that you're having with Bill. It doesn't sound that way. What's he talking about in regard to the auditor's office? He wants it to run smooth, of
right.
course. That's very broad. But what does he want to happen here?
I don't know. You know, we haven't really talked about that. We haven't really talked about the inner workings of my office or how things are going to go or what he wants us to do or anything like that. He does obviously want that position of Office of Budget Management to be posted and that to be a full-time job and to take over there. But as far as my office, I'm not really sure of what exactly it is that he's looking for.
Mayor Schertzer had asked for your resignation. Do you think at this point Bill Collins would?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you even though he's apologized, even though you're on good footing now, you feel that he still doesn't want you in there.
Right.
But at this point, do you think there'd be a job offer if you were to leave that position?
No, definitely
so
not.
This sounds like a worse position to be in.
Probably.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
Surprisingly good.
Good. Why?
Because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And that's not to say that transit isn't a good place. That's not to say that I wouldn't love to be working with those people. I've had great conversations with them, and I appreciate them more than I could ever express, truly. But I know that I'm not supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to be in the auditor's office right now, fixing this, figuring it out, cleaning up the mess. And that's what I'm going to be doing.
At this point, do you think you'll be given the time to do it?
That remains to be seen.
Do you have any feeling about going in Monday night at this point, just a few days away?
No, not really. I used to be really, really apprehensive about council meetings just because they were quite the beratement there for a good 6 months, but I don't have feelings one way or another about what happens on Monday.
Now, they can feel you're not doing the job, and you called it beratement, and other people have called it that as well, a very harsh way of talking to you in these public meetings. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that's appropriate or that that should continue?
Do I think it's appropriate? To an extent, yes. Because obviously, if there's poor job performance, you're going to hear about it, whether that's, you know, from your direct supervisor, which I don't have. Council is my direct supervisor, kind of. Or, you know, whatever. But that's the thing. You know, I don't have a direct supervisor. The people that are in charge of my job are the people. And the people's representatives are council. So that's when I'm going to hear about my job performance. Do I think it needed to go to the extent of which it did? No. But again, I'm biased. I'm the one that's dealing with it. So that's just my opinion. Take that with what you will.
When we look back on this point in your life, would you call it tumultuous?
The last 6 months, probably.
Yeah. When did things start to go bad? When did you realize that this is not going well?
Oh, that fire truck.
Yeah, well, tell us about the fire truck. We hear about the fire truck. What happened there?
Oh, lots of bad information, which was totally my fault. I tried to correct it and recover, and I never recovered. I never recovered.
Why was that such a hard issue?
So at that point, we were doing monthly bank reconciliations that were being submitted to council, which was great. Just to kind of keep everybody up to date and make sure that they're aware of what's going on. But the problem is they see this big flashy number of $13 million in front of their face all the time. And so they think, oh, we've got $13 million in the bank that we can just spend. Which, yes, but no. Because those dollars are, there's either enterprise funds or there's special funds or there's general fund, and you can't commingle those to all go to one expense. And so when the fire truck comes up, they're thinking, well, let's just take some of that $13 million and pay for this fire truck. Well, we can't do that because we have to make sure that we're using general fund dollars. And again, bad information, and I tried to recover, and I just never did.
During this whole thing, and I'm going to say since December 11th, besides Bill Collins, besides Jason Schauber, has anybody reached out to you? Did you reach out to anybody? Were there any conversations that we heretofore do not know about this whole situation?
I spoke to Ayers Ratliff briefly. I could not even tell you what that conversation was about anymore. It was that brief. Normally, I'm pretty good at recalling conversations. I cannot recall that one.
That's interesting because if people go to those meetings, they would probably say he was your harshest critic.
Absolutely.
Vocally.
Absolutely.
So why did he reach out to you or did you reach out to him?
And that's why I said I feel
don't
awful
remember.
Because I genuinely don't remember. I think I called him. I'm pretty sure I did call him, but I can't remember what we talked about. I think we talked about the whole deal thing. God, I am really blanking. I am so sorry. I have nothing.
But I think the question here would be, why would you reach out to the man who has been most critical of you?
Right. And I couldn't even tell you that. I mean, and I think at that point I was just kind of concerned about what was going on. And if I recall, this was after December 11th. So it would have been after I resigned. And I think I had listened to that council meeting because I didn't attend that council meeting. I think I'd listened to that council meeting and there was some question about whether or not the whole, you know, whether or not it was copacetic in the deal and all that fun stuff.
Right.
And I think I had reached out to him about that. I could not tell you what the conversation was about, though. I feel so bad.
Well, and no, that's no problem. And I just think that on the whole, the confusion that will remain is how did this all begin? Because again, just with this whole transit thing, you say it's not something you wanted.
Right.
Didn't want to go there. It was, how serious would you say the conversation was with Martin that led for him to go ask if this was doable?
I didn't really think it was all that serious. And I'm the type of person, I probably put too much thought into conversations. Like if you ever seen that sign that says, hold on, let me overthink this. I legitimately embroidered that somewhere in my house. Like I joke about how I overthink everything. I didn't even think it was that serious, but apparently I was wrong.
Well, on December 11th, when you're sitting at a table and Martin is basically speaking for you at this point, is the deal. How are you feeling while that's all going on? Mayor Schertzer's over there. Jason Schaber's over there. This is the first they've heard of it. They're watching this. Bill Collins and the law director are across the table.
Right.
And Martin's talking about your resignation and using the word deal, which is not necessarily the greatest word to hear. Right.
I felt about 6 inches tall. I did. To be in a room full of men and to have a man speak for me, only to have another man accept everything. Like, I felt 6 inches tall. It was probably the most humiliating thing I've ever gone through in my life.
So, did you say something to Martin after that? Say,
no, no. I went to my office, I packed my stuff, and I went home.
So, why did that happen?
I could not tell you. I really couldn't. I wish I could. I think it was just because he could tell that I was so uncomfortable, would be my guess.
Did you say to him after this discussion, we need to talk about this, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to take that?
No.
I think, that's what I'm confused about. Because just again for the timeline of this, to straighten it out, November 30th, Bill, Jason meet with you.
Right.
They say, we're not happy with the work you're doing, think of the family, blah, 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 blah. We've been down that road. Then at some point, you're having a casual conversation with Martin about this transit position.
Right.
He takes it on his own behalf to go down and see if he can get you that transit position. He
right.
does, obviously, with Bill Collins. At some point, that's conveyed back to you that it's available. How do you know that on December 11th, after this discussion, that you're going to go up and have this meeting about essentially your resignation if that position's still available?
And again, that's where it gets a little blurry because I don't remember exactly how the whole conversation started. I don't remember who. I feel like Martin was like, okay, we're going to go have a chat. And I was like, oh, okay. And just kind of like followed.
So you didn't realize this was going on?
I don't think I did. I think it was because, and I remember about 5 minutes before this whole meeting, I stood in my office with my staff and I stood in front of them and I told them everything that was going on at this point. I said, listen, council's calling for my resignation. The mayor's calling for my resignation. I don't know what's going to happen, but you have me until at least January. I literally said that less than 5 minutes before I walked into that meeting.
Now, January, when was that brought up?
This was on December 11th.
So this is
this
the day.
This was the day. This was right before I said, you have me until at least January, because at that point I was determined that I wasn't going to resign at all and that the only way I was going to get out was with council removing me.
So going into this meeting where you actually do resign,
right?
You don't know.
No.
So who draws up your resignation letter?
I did, but it was after the meeting.
It was after the meeting.
Right.
So when Jason said there was a paper given to you that day that said something, he didn't know what it was, and he said you didn't sign it, something about transit.
Yeah, supposedly there was an offer letter or something of the sort. I still to this day have never seen it, let alone signed it.
So you never asked to go to transit?
No.
So, again, the letter we read earlier on the 12th, when
right.
Bill says you did, that's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily. I can see where he would have said that I expressed my interest when I meekly said okay in that meeting to whether or not I was going to resign and go to transit. But, I mean, ultimately, yes, it would have been my choice to go to transit. But, yeah, I wasn't.
Would you have ever resigned if the transit job had not been offered?
No.
No. Okay. And I think ultimately, in our last few minutes here, that is what people have a problem with.
Sure.
Because it sounds, if not a bribe, certainly like coercion. And when you say, I wouldn't have done it had that not been there.
Right.
That's problematic.
I agree. And it's definitely one of those situations where if you dig into it, and it's like the longer you think about it, the more annoying it gets, you know, like that rock in your shoe. And I think that's kind of where everybody's at with it right now.
So I will ask you this, because you say you don't have legal counsel, and at this point you're not going to pursue anything against Bill. In the future, would there be a possibility?
Oh, God, I can't answer that. I don't know.
Don't know about the future?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. But on the council, one of council's job is to get to the bottom of things like this.
Sure.
Do you feel that they should pursue it?
That is entirely up to council. I have no intention of pursuing it. I have no intention of pursuing it in the future. If something changes, I couldn't tell you. I probably still wouldn't pursue it. I'm just not that type of person.
If you were looking in on this situation, if it wasn't about you, if you're not in it.
Oh, I'd tell him to go for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because?
Because it's not right.
So you still, even though he's apologized, even though you're on good footing,
right.
You believe what happened was wrong.
Right. It, from the outside looking in, and this is where I get a little funny. From the outside looking in, if this was not me, if this was someone else, I'd be like, no, you have to go stand up for what you think is right. And you didn't think that was right. And you need to go do something about it. I don't have that kind of fight in me for myself. So I would just rather not.
And just to bring this up, because a lot of names were mentioned in the last interview we did, being a part of some of these meetings, Mayor Schertzer, Jason Schaber,
right.
Law Director Russell, Tom Robbins was a part of a meeting, Martin Watts, now we know, was a part of something that went on there.
Right.
Okay. At the bottom of all this, who would you say, essentially, if there is any blame for a position, for this whole problem, who would it be?
Oh, my gosh. Does it have to be one person?
No, it can be whoever you like.
I'd say it would probably be a combination, like I said, of Jason and Bill. I feel like there may be a little bit of Martin in there too, just because of how the whole thing went down. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think it was right to offer you this position? To get you out of the position you were in? And do you think that's what it was?
No, I don't think it's right. And yes, I think that's what it was.
When you look back on it on the whole, I know. When you look back on it on the whole, knowing that, that's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I mean, it's an interesting situation, right? The whole thing is an interesting situation. And I really think that to kind of have any kind of perspective in it, to have any skin in the game, gives you a bias. And I think that's where it gets hard to determine the actual truth, because as soon as you're biased, the truth is out the window.
If you want to say anything to the citizens of Marion, who you're speaking to right now, what would it be?
Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support, and thank you for all the questions, and thank you for those of you that have stuck by me. I appreciate it more than I could ever tell you.
And you will come back?
Of course. Of course I'll come. Next week.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Well, we gotta have you on once a week. So I mean, honestly, though, after next council meeting, it could be interesting.
It could be interesting.
So I'm sure we will talk again in the future. And I do appreciate you coming on, because I put this post on social media because I said, you know, honestly, as a journalist, you have no side in these things. But the fact that you and Jason came on and were candid in what you said, that helps the listener. That helps the citizen. And when people don't do that, it's a problem. And I think it would help them if they did do that, even though they might not.
Oh, I agree.
And it's not horrible to be here, is it?
It's really not. We have a good time.
Miranda McGinnis, Marion City Auditor, and I know a lot of people are coming to the council meeting on Monday night, 6:30, so we'll see how that all shakes out. Coming up next, Matt Morgan. Stay tuned. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
In Abraham Lincoln.
You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.